Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen, powered by Elec A25. We are thrilled to join you on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 HD2, part of the Beasley Media Group, ready to help you move into the weekend, talking about all the news in the world of sports. We'll get to Keith Pompey in a minute, talk the disaster that is the Sixers dumpster fire right now. Did you see the snow globe last night? I know you don't watch Thursday Night Football, but I texted you.
The answer is no.
But I texted you. Did you look for highlights?
I was asleep.
I love football played in the snow. They were clearing the lines with like a leaf blower and shovels in between plays.
What I was surprised by was that the Browns won.
That the Browns, let's see, Pittsburgh struggled last night. Russell Wilson looked the way that people were worried that Russell Wilson would look. And Myles Garrett basically ate his lunch. He had 3 sacks in the first half and lived in the backfield.
Is Russell Wilson not a snow quarterback, even though he went to Wisconsin?
I don't know. It was Jameis Winston's first time playing in temperatures under 40 degrees or something like that.
Well, so at least it should keep his crab legs nice and cold.
The media has so much fun with the fact that he's the starting quarterback now. Like, Amazon was so excited post-broadcast that Browns won and that Jameis would be the person to come sit at the desk with them. They were all, like, giddy about it.
Yeah, if the Browns played on Thanksgiving, they could actually do, instead of a turkey leg, they could do some stow crab legs.
Hey, man, that'd be better than what we're going to watch with the Giants in Dallas. Tommy Cutlets against whatever's going on in Dallas.
I have no response to that.
No, you got nothing to say.
There's nothing that a Giants or Cowboys fan other than can do other than hang their head and say, I have no choice but to watch it. It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's no option.
No.
What other option do you have?
There's nothing else on. You're with family. You're going to have to sit there and watch that slop on a football field. By the way, right at the time that the sun sets in everybody's eyes again, so we can hear about them being blinded because there aren't shades.
They're not going to close the roof?
It's not the roof. It's the shades.
Oh.
Come on, Jeff. Don't bring it up to Jerry, though. He gets upset. All right, let's talk Sixers. We'll come back and we'll talk more.
Jerry's getting angry.
He is. All right, let's talk some basketball. It's getting late early for the Sixers. Let's bring on our man, Keith Pompey. Keith, what the hell are we watching?
You're watching the banged up and the restless.
Coming up with some soap opera thing here, huh?
I mean, I should say, hi, how you doing? Thanks for joining us. But I watched that on Wednesday night. They're 2-12. They fell to Memphis, who I was following your tweets in the afternoon. I thought we were in good shape. Lots of their players out for the game. And like I told Jeff, I was away this week. I was at a conference, and Monday night I go to a dinner and they're up 20 points and I come out and they lose by 15. Wednesday night I go to a dinner and I'm thinking they got a chance, and I find out they get bombed, giving up 20-plus three-pointers to a team without their top 3 stars. What did I miss?
By the way, the theme of this is Jason goes to dinner a lot.
Yeah, Jason eats food.
It's been crazy. You know what? It's kind of like one of those things where you look at it and you say to yourself, like, okay, they don't have their 3 stars back yet. All healthy. Well, they had them back for 6 minutes yesterday.
6 minutes and 7 seconds. Huge run.
Yeah, 6 and 7 seconds. But the problem is, it's kind of like, you know, you talk about that theme. Like, they're losing games, they're blowing leads, and they're losing to undermanned squads, right? And the last 2 games that they lost, you know, these were 2 games, 2 teams who were not only undermanned, but playing in their second game of a back-to-back. So, It's rough right now for the 76ers. It really is.
Wait. Are you telling me that players actually play in the second game of back-to-backs?
Some. Not on our team.
It depends if you have a max contract.
All right. I don't even know where. Are you going to go, Jeff?
I know where to start. Okay. I mean, look, we could start with Jeremy Cain, but we'll do the positive later. I just want to point something out. I'm going to give you all, both of you, some numbers. Okay? Uh-oh.
When Jeff brings numbers, I get concerned, Keith.
Here's the numbers. 0, 0, 31, 63, 64, 51, 51, 68, 66, 39, 4. Do you know what those numbers are? And no, they're not the combination to Jason's safe.
Is that the lottery?
Those are the number of games that Joel Embiid has played each season of his career.
Yeah.
Okay, so soak that in for a second, because the first two numbers were 0 and 0.
Yeah.
But the NBA last now
one was 33, right? The second one, third one was 33.
31. 31. Oh, okay. So the NBA now has a rule that you must play in 65 games to be eligible for most of the major awards. Joel Embiid has only qualified for that 2 times in an over 10-year career and eked it out with 68 and 66.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Was it worth it?
He got MVP. He got a scoring title.
Got an Olympic medal.
If you now look back, because Jason and I have had this discussion about the process, which is now over 10 years older. Was it worth it?
I guess what you're saying is, like, for all this, and they've only gotten out the second round. That's a strong argument. I mean, that's a good argument to make. I mean, you know, you look at it like, when healthy, he's a generational talent. But the problem is, as you pointed out, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And they can't get out of the second round, even when he is healthy in the regular season. They still can't get out of the second round.
But you put the caveat when healthy. They drafted a guy who wasn't healthy. He never played, you know, for all of Joel Embiid's bravado. He, other than sitting on the bench for a gold medal this year, he hasn't won anything. He played 1 year at Kansas, broke his back before he played in an NCAA tournament game, let alone a conference tournament game. And since that time, when healthy, he can be great. But when healthy has never happened.
If you can't tell, Jeff's down
and
on.
They drafted a guy who wasn't healthy. They were willing to have him sit out for 2 years of the initial his career to supposedly get him healthy. And the best we've ever gotten is 68. And by the time he's gotten to the playoffs, even with all that time off, he's never healthy.
Yeah. The only thing I will say, Jeff, is when you look back at that draft, who else were you going to take?
Careful. Jeff's sending me picks 13 to 26 in the NBA draft, asking me who would be better, the top 15 guy. I'll tell you. Be careful saying that, Keith, because I'm getting like text chains from Jeff about this stuff.
I presented this to Keith, too. So I'll present it on the air. Which team would you rather have from that draft? And it's, here's a team, which is Joel Embiid, Andrew Wiggins, Aaron Gordon, Dante Exum, I threw in there, but Julius Randle and Marcus Smart.
Those were
of the first 7 picks in that draft.
Okay.
Or you could have a team with Nikola Jokic, Jordan Clarkson, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Clint Capella, or Jeremy Grant, which are picks 25 through 46. Again, when healthy, Team A might be better, but you'd likely choose Team B with the benefit of hindsight.
I mean, yeah, one guy turned out to be a 3-time MVP.
This is what I'm dealing with, Keith. He won a championship. This is what I get sent as text messages.
So it's a bad question to ask, is who would I rather have?
Yes, he will engage you.
I just wanted to know.
He'll engage you on that and then choose the other side. So that won't go where you want. I mean, look, it's the third worst start in 13 years of the process. And for a lot of the process, they were trying to have bad starts. They're trying to win here, supposedly. And we've had these three guys on the court for 6 minutes and 7 seconds. There's been more coverage of Embiid getting technical fouls for waving a towel. Embiid not handling his business okay, both in public with the media saying, for all I've done with this city, inside in the locker room getting suspended for his actions there, his reactions to what he says, and then you get Oh, there's a team meeting the other night. Okay. Look, I've been the press guy on like the not reporting side, but on the staff side before. I'm okay when people have meetings, things stay in house. But immediately when it leaked, you knew that was going to be a problem, and you saw Embiid's reaction after the game last night. So can we talk about first the team meeting and how much is being blown out of proportion versus how much is there? Because I've been reading about Embiid showing up late since I read Yaron Weitzman's book about the process like 7-8 years ago. What's the deal here with Embiid and the team and Maxey? Is that being blown out of proportion here? What is up?
I don't think it's being blown out of proportion. I think what we're going through is a lot of damage control. Now, first of all, like, you know, the thing y'all got, I mean, and you've been on both sides. I mean, you know, you've been on the team side. You know, Jeff has been on a reporter side. Both of you guys are on the reporter side now with me. The NBA coaches have to report after 10 minutes after the game. This dude didn't report until an hour after the game. So basically, after 20 minutes, you know, like something's up, like what's going on in the locker room. So it was an hour. So they had and then the players, they're supposed to open up their locker room 20 minutes after the game. No one got in there until an hour and a half after the game. So when people come up and say, we just had a conversation, we were talking on over plays and stuff like that. Well, y'all could have done that back on the team hotel. You could have done it on the plane. Like, you could have done anything. So the fact is, no, it wasn't blown out of proportion. And the thing is, it got out because they wanted a message to be sent to Joel. That's exactly what happened. When you look at this and you say, like, I mean, let's be real. If you watch the game, at the end of that game, I didn't make that trip, but I watched the game. When the game was over, the last thing I saw was Joel Embiid complaining about something to Kyle Lowry. And it looked like he was complaining about, what do I do? What are we running out here? This is ridiculous. Da, da, da. That was the last thing that you saw before they went to commercial break, right? So then they go into a meeting. We all know that Joel's been late for everything, Weissman. And you got another thing.
He said it's only been a couple times.
Well, of course he said that, right? Of course he said that. But would he
all
say
his,
that?
All his old teammates keep reporting otherwise, but he said it's only a couple times.
So yeah, but so here's the thing. We got to understand this, y'all. So Tyrese Maxey is the only other guy who's been on the team longer than a season since last year. Wow. The rest of these guys, we're going to talk about veterans. We're going to talk about Kyle Lowry, right? Who's been a leader on his team, won a championship. He played at Miami. He did a lot of different things. He's played with great players. Heck, he's getting older now, but he's a 6-time All-Star. It's about accountability. We talk about Eric Gordon. He played with great players. We talk about Caleb Martin. All these guys came through systems where the best player is typically the hardest working one, regardless of what they do off the court. When you get to practice, you see that guy out there putting out a workout. He's the one demanding everything from everyone else. He's the last one to leave. Now they're losing, and they're probably all looking like, yo, man, this is different. Like, dude comes and goes as he pleases. He's late. He does this. And then they're probably like, yo, Tyrese. And Tyrese might have stepped up and said, I'm going to say it. But if not, the couple of them, I could see guys saying, Tyrese, if he didn't step up and say it, say, look, bro, you've been here the longest. You're the coolest with them. You got to do it. I mean, even Paul George and them, like, they come, and that's the system they come from. So, of course, everybody says it's blown out of proportion. It shouldn't have been leaked. But it was leaked for a reason, because they wanted to get the message to him. They wanted the fans to, like, yo, is this what's really going on? It's all about him, right? So now they all come out and say it's leaked, it's this and that. Let's get it. We all know it. It's damage control. I'm gonna share something with y'all. There was a couple times when earlier in my beat, I wrote stories about guys and, you know, some guys with different teams or whatnot. And they would come to me and they would say, I remember the first time ever, this guy said, and I don't want to say what it is, because then people are going to know. They can easily look it up. But the guy said, hey, look, man, we want this. And I'm like, okay. He says, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I love you. We love you. But we're going to deny it after you put it out. And I was like, but why do you want me to put it out? And he was like, nah, you don't get it, Keith. That's what everybody does. So what happens is I put it out. I write it. I'm getting criticized all over social media because the player denied it to the local, his local media. So I don't know where Pompey got that from, yada, yada. So that team comes back to play the Sixers. I go in the locker room because that's what you're supposed to do after that. In front of his teammates, he goes, yo, Pompey, what's up, baby? Gave me a hug and said, I love you, bro. I'm out of here, right? And then he got what he wanted. So what I'm trying to say is you can't get tricked by after the fact like it was blown out of proportion because what happened is the message got out and that's what they wanted to get out. But then you got to always try to discredit people. It happens all the time. So that way it's kind of like allowing you to keep the peace because you don't want everybody asking all the time, like, is there a problem here? I don't think there is a problem. I really don't, because I think the message was said and everything like that. But at the same time, from the outside looking in, you don't want people coming into the locker room and like, what's this guy doing? What's that guy doing? So, yes, it was real. And we all know the not the cover up. It's just like when somebody commits a crime. It's like, yo, are you going to keep the evidence here? Or are you going to like wipe it down and say, oh, no, we didn't see anything? You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at with that.
But this is, to me, it's about leadership. This is anybody who's surprised at this point that this is the feelings that some of his teammates have towards him is missing the boat. Anybody who's ever been to, and I've been to practices, when Ben Simmons and he were on the same team, the guys that were playing, who were shooting by themselves, the guys who wouldn't talk to the media, the guys who didn't seem engaged with their teammates were Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And every year, it's a running joke now of whether Joel Embiid's really in shape or he's just announcing that he's in better shape. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that that's the issue. The real issue is leadership. He is the veteran. He is what the team has been built around for a decade, over a decade now. And when this comes out, there are ways to handle it. And to me, the way to handle it would have been to sit there and say, you know what? I'm the leader of this team. Regardless of what was said, I need to do better. And if there are people that have that perspective on me, maybe they're wrong, maybe they're right, but they're not going to have that perspective on me next week, the week after, and for as long as I'm here.
Did I miss that response?
No.
Okay, saying, just making
sure. Saying that the person that leaked it is a piece of bleep is just the opposite of what a leader does. And that's, to me, what's going to define him here, is that he doesn't get it. So anybody who thought leaking it to the media was going to solve the problem, I don't think long-term it's going to solve the problem, because this isn't the first criticism Joel Embiid has received. Every time that TNT has a chance to talk, you have Charles Barkley and you have Shaquille O'Neal either trying to motivate him by the things they say or criticizing him in an attempt usually to motivate him. It hasn't worked. If his peers, if the people that are in the Hall of Fame who are commenting on him can't get him to do anything, what makes anyone believe that because it leaked that Tyrese Maxey said something, that after a decade, now he's going to get it?
Yeah, I think it was desperation. Like, I think, you know, you look at this team and you're seeing how, you know, let's face it, they were 2-11. You know, as Jason said, this is the third worst record, you know, since the process started. I mean, right now they're 2-12. You know, one of those teams, I believe the 2014-15 team, started out, I believe they started out like 0-17. And then the 2015-16 team started 0-18.
Keith, so we're not even talking Sixers history. We're talking NBA. 106 teams in NBA history have started 2-11 or worse. 8 of them have made the playoffs. 3 of them had a winning record. Like, that's not just Sixers history of futility. That's NBA futility with your, quote, big three getting 6 minutes and 7 seconds of run since the preseason. People forget they didn't step on the court together in the preseason either. And now they may not step on the court together till near Christmas with Paul George hurting his knee again. And Jeff got into this with me when they were out. He asked me, he did an exercise, and he said, who on the team is a three-point shooter? Because I said to him in a show, I was like, oh, they got shooters. And he's like, who? And you look at the roster, who the hell's supposed to shoot the ball, even when they're here? It just seems like a very flawed roster construction, which I missed on the front end. Like, I was excited for some of the signings, thinking they were veterans and good stuff. But is this a puzzle where the pieces don't fit together, even when they're all there?
Well, what the problem is when you have a team, well, first of all, they thought or they hoped that they could get, what's my man name? The guy, Nico Batum. They thought that they can get him back. And he would have been a quality power forward. He basically, essentially would have been the starting power forward for him, right? So you put that in there, you see what he can do. And, but now when you look at it, yes, when they got what they could afford. And what I mean by that is, it's kind of sort of like you gave all your money to three players. There's a reason why teams now with the second apron and all that other stuff, that they're not trying to allocate all this money to people because it's harder for you to get other guys, right? So what they did is, when enabling to do that, towards the tail end of your roster or some of your role players on the rosters, they have to be minimum guys. And then what happens is, you know, everybody else is picking people. So then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, well, the guy that I'm going to get, he was good a couple years ago, but he's on his tail end. And the way I got this roster set up, I'm hoping and praying that we don't have to give him a lot of minutes. It's going to be, we're going to stagger the lineup. We're going to have at least 2 of these stars on the floor at all times, maybe one for a little stretch. And then we'll get this guy in and only have to play a little bit of minutes. But the problem is now when these guys get injured, then all of a sudden you got to put this guy out there. And he's not like in a real comfortable situation. So he gets exposed for not being the player he is. I mean, because like when you look at it, you got a guy like Eric Gordon, you got Kyle Lowry, you got Reggie Jackson. You know, these are all three guys who had pretty good careers, right, for what they were. Kyle was an all-star. The other two were role players, you know, bona fide role players. Reggie won a championship, but Kyle is 38. Eric is 36. Reggie is 34. And they played in the league for a long time. So that's what happens. That's what you get. And that's the reason why this roster looks the way it is, because these are the guys that they could have afford. They could afford. And granted, they all come with big names and they're all people that people, you know, recognize, but they're a little bit older. And Eric Gordon is a shooter, you know, but he just hasn't found his shot yet. You know, Kyle Lowry has a great basketball IQ. He's a leader of men, but he's 38 years old now. You know, Reggie Jackson came off the bench as a lethal scorer. Well, you know, he's older now. So, you know, I think that's what it is. When you talk about the roster, when you go all in and you go out there and you say that, you know, I'm gonna get these big three. Well, you got to make sure the big three works. You have to make sure that they're all healthy and everything so they can play together. So then you can give Kyle Lowry 10 minutes a game, bring Reggie in. Like if I need a stretch, I need somebody to score a couple buckets in like a 5-minute stretch. Or if I got everybody on the floor and I need somebody to be a knockdown shooter, that's when you bring in a Eric Gordon. But right now, it's like they're giving these guys extended minutes, and that's when they get exposed.
You realize, once again, you just gave an answer that was with the caveat when healthy.
Everything.
So the only way this roster works is if the big three are healthy, which was a long shot at best with Embiid, whatever happened to him before the season, which are we ever going to find out what really happened to Joel Embiid before the season that led to this? Are we ever going to find out if the Olympics situation exacerbated whatever he has?
No, they don't want to give me an answer.
I kind of think that's part of the problem, like, right? I think that, you know, the deal is, you know what? I think that what's going on right now is that everyone, and they got the HIPAA laws and everything that they can't say anything. But typically, like, let's just say Paul George hyperextends his knee. He did something. Whatever happened to Joel, Joel knows about it, but he doesn't, and the team knows about it, but he doesn't want anyone to address it.
Right. So can I just correct you for one thing? The HIPAA rules only apply if the person who's medical doesn't want it released. Joel Embiid could easily, Joel Embiid could easily come out and say, here's what happened.
But he doesn't want it released. And
accountability.
The reason he probably doesn't want it released is because guess what people are going to say? Dang, dude, you can't stay healthy. Look at him. I told you he was fragile. I told you this. I told you that.
All right.
You
know? So forget about the health. Where was his statement after the confrontation in the locker room owning that? He said nothing. The Sixers said nothing publicly. They put out a statement that they apologized privately. There's no leadership anywhere in this organization. Josh Harris is too busy watching the Commanders. Daryl Morey, I don't know what the hell he's doing. They make Nick Nurse sit at these press conferences like he's not supposed to be pissed off that he's got a third of the roster he was supposed to play with that was flawed to begin with. Like, it's a bigger problem than just Embiid's leadership. There is no leadership from the top down. And the NBA keeps saying, you're lying to your fans. You're lying to us. And you and me and Jeff all know when you lose credibility with the fans, you got a much bigger problem than the product on the court.
Especially when you're trying to build a new stadium.
That's the major problem right now. Yeah.
Like, they're starting to have a credibility issue here.
In the history of the NBA, has a team ever been fined for the reason that was given for the $100,000 fine for the Sixers?
I don't think so. Not the way they did the reasoning, I don't think so.
So we're making history, Jeff. We are a history making team here.
They do win the headline.
Keith, I want to root for my team. I don't want to criticize the ownership, the players, the reaction. And I feel like they're not giving me a chance to with the way they're treating me.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad. They're in a tough spot. I mean, they really are. And I think, unfortunately...
Wait, who's in a tough spot?
Me.
I mean, the Sixers are. I think they are. I think if you look at it, I think a lot of this stuff is... I mean, you know, the knee injury stuff and the lack of transparency, that all revolves around with the Joel Embiid situation, right? The locker room, you know, they're saying it was a lot of things that was said. But the one thing that was pinpointed was the Joel Embiid situation. When, in order for the 76ers to win a championship, regardless of how well Tyrese Maxey plays, regardless of how well Paul George plays, Jarrett McCain plays, it's all up to how healthy and how well Joel Embiid plays.
That's depressing.
You know, so they're in a tough situation right now. And you know, but then it's also, you know, here's the thing too, and we talked about this before, so I'm sorry if I keep repeating this same analogy, but it's one of those things, and you kind of, Jason, you alluded to it, but it's one of those things where we all have children, and you can't have your kid jumping on the couch, doing backflips on the couch, but then all of a sudden, your mom, their child's grandmother shows up and you're like, get off the couch. And they're like, what are you talking about? We do this all the time. So you can't like allow someone to do something through their whole career, and then all of a sudden we're going to have a team meet and saying, "Bruh,
not cool, dude."
Well, to be fair, for
and he's like, "Yo, y'all just gave me $193 million extension on the back end of my stuff, and now all of a sudden y'all got a problem. But y'all didn't have a problem before you gave me that money."
Well, to be fair, if you ever saw Talladega Nights, the grandmother and that got those kids in line. So,
well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, but it's not the grandmother. So now it's not the grandmother, it's the parents.
Well, and the problem is, it's not even that. It's that the parents didn't do anything when they were 8, and they want to do it when he's 18. Yeah. So yeah. Like, you can't come back to somebody and say be different after you've told them all along that they're the star for being the way that they were. And that, like, there's just a disconnect with this whole team here. I mean, for the 6 minutes and 7 seconds they were on the court together, it looked like they had not been on the court together. Like, there was one play, and McCain's been fantastic. I mean, you talk about bright spots. Yabusele and McCain are the bright spots. But even early on in the game, they ran it where Embiid was under the basket, and he kicked it out to McCain on the wing for the three-pointer. And McCain waited and passed it. And Embiid wanted him to shoot the ball. And McCain just kind of wanted to defer to the star at that point. And you could see Embiid motioning him to shoot for it, but they haven't been out there long enough together to even know what each other are thinking yet. So, again, I ask.
You're talking about practice.
But I am. This is the Sixers. We're always talking about practice, it seems. So now, okay, where are we after Wednesday night's debacle? Now, you know, Paul George has what appears to be the same type of left knee hyperextension. They kept him out 3 weeks before. I mean, you're talking about almost Christmas before these guys get back on the court together. Like, running out of time is like, you're running out of time.
Yeah, this reminds me. Now, again, I'm not going to say it's quite panic mode yet. I know a lot of people are saying that.
Jeff and I do.
But I think you're not going to be able, like, we don't know what they have until they all get out on the court. But the thing is, the main thing is, but when are they going to get out on the court? That's the question. And what are they going to look like when they get out on the court? Because even before the injury, Paul George hasn't been, he hasn't looked like the Paul George of last season or the year before that offensively. You know, and there's also
Tyrese,
you know,
Maxey hasn't looked like himself either when he was healthy.
Yeah, he has to get back to being that guy. You know, and one thing I will say about Maxey is I felt like, you know, early on when he was the only person out there, because he only played a game and a half with Paul George. That was it. He didn't play. He played with Embiid last night. But it was one of those things. The best offense they had was, okay, Maxey, you're going to play 45 minutes. Not quite 45, but it was 40 minutes, and you're going to take all the shots. This guy was just, the first game he shot the ball 31 times. So, you know, when you shoot the ball that many times, they're all not great shots. They're horrible shots, half of them. You're just trying to score at will. So he has to get his rhythm back. Embiid has to play better. But at the same time, it's one of those things when we look at this, we have to be realistic with ourselves, and you have to say, the goal for this team was to at least get out of the second round. They hope to make it to the NBA finals. There's nothing that we saw right now that's going to say that they're going to make it, right? Now, you talked about teams that made it to the playoffs. Now, there are two teams, and the last team I will say was the 2004-2005 Chicago Bears. No, excuse me, Chicago Bulls. Who started off like 0-13, and they ended up with the fourth best record, and they had the fifth seed in the playoff because back then it was like division, right? Well, anyway, they lost in six games in the first round. Before that, it was the 1996-97 Phoenix Suns who started off 0-13, and then they went on a run where they won 40, they won 40-25 in their last 65 games. But guess what happened? They lost in the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, we can say like the East is kind of weak right now to where the 76ers could say, guess what? We're going to go on a stretch. We're going to win games. But I still don't think this team is good enough to get out of the second round of the playoff, even though they have the big three. And they may not even get out of the first round.
But let's, okay, so let's focus on what little positive there has been so far for a minute. McCain, is he really this good? And can he play in a backcourt with Maxey, or are they too similar?
That's the question.
I mean, I think at this particular time, like, I wouldn't do it, but I think that when you get desperate, you do whatever. You just got to throw stuff up against the wall, right? But I do think that, because I'm answering your second question first.
Okay.
I do think that you would probably be better off having like a Kelly Oubre guy in there. The only problem is he looks like he could be a better
point guard
than Maxey.
Yep.
Not that Maxey, now he's a better player than Maxey, but he seems to be a better guy as far as getting everybody involved and making passes and doing things like that. So if that's the case, if the Sixers feel that way, they have to play him. The thing about Jared is he's off to a great start, but with rookies, sometimes we have to be a little bit careful. I mean, no matter how great they start, because the rookie wall is real. Yeah. Playing in all these games, like, is real. Like, I know they play a lot of games with AAU and all that other stuff, but this is NBA type games. And then also, as good as he is, how is he going to fit in if all these other guys wake up, right? Like, is he going to be a waste of talent? And what I mean by that is we look at him more as a scorer. We look at him more, you know, as a guy who can get his own shot, do things like that. He's showing us that. But Joel is the alpha dog, and then Maxey is going to want to get his buckets. So is Jared McCain really impactful for you, just bringing the ball up and dishing the ball to them when you know that he can come off the bench and get buckets? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So I honestly think I like what he said, what he's doing. He's exceeded everyone's expectations. The problem is can he continue to do that?
Well, and also, is that a tall enough backcourt if you have both of them playing together?
And that's another problem because, you know, I was looking at it and guys were scoring, you know, getting their buckets against them. It's like, oh, okay, let's switch on to them and let's get it. You know what I mean? So that's the problem. What that does is it puts more pressure on Paul George to be the defensive guy, more pressure on Caleb Williams to do stuff. Whereas, like, if you had a Kelly Oubre, you know, 6'7", long wingspan, you know, he could be a guy, an extra defender in there. You're right. And because, let's face it, they were getting torched in transition. They were getting torched in perimeter threes where they couldn't get back. So
that was, you know, how I was going to start the show. I was going to ask you what's worse, their offense or their defense? I couldn't tell.
I want to say their offense is worse. I mean, the defense is bad, but the offense, man, like, I didn't look at the stats today, but at one point they were ranked like last in field goal percentage, last in assists. You know what I mean? It was like last in rebounds. I mean, think about it. 2 games ago, they missed 49 shots and only had 2 offensive boards. Like, that's bad.
All right.
That's bad. And 0 second chance points.
Before we let you go, can I ask just a non-Sixers related question for a second?
Yeah.
Is it possible Nikola Jokic is better this season than he's been in the past? Because he's averaging 13.7 rebounds and 11.7 assists to go with his almost 30 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I honestly think so. I mean, you know what? He's like... I think so. This is a guy. I mean, he's a good player.
And how many seasons did he miss at the beginning of his career? I'm just picking on a scale.
Oh, you're right. You're just being a pain in the ass now, Jeff. I'll tell you what, Keith. You want to see some good basketball? You go up and see Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper play for Rutgers. Oh, yeah. That'll be fun for you to see. Keith Pompey.
Wait. What? Keith, you got a way to come back at that.
He doesn't need to. They're good players.
Who's got a better record right now, Pitt or
they,
Rutgers?
Look, man, like, let's see. Here's the thing. The reason why they want the Rutgers, I'm going to be honest with you. Ooh, they want the Rutgers the same reason why some people want the, like, Washington and,
Ask me if I care why they're there.
Because they're scared to go up against the real squads, play on real squad. Because their draft status is going to go down.
All right, we'll see about
going
that.
Going to go down.
We'll see about that. You should go catch a game.
It's the truth, bro. Like if they were, it's the truth. You know that.
Okay.
Come on, man.
We'll see.
Come on, man.
You hurt his feelings.
I don't.
Y'all got nice NIL money?
We do now. That's the whole point. We finally have it figured out.
They just have nobody to manage it.
Yeah, we just don't have an athletic director or school president, but we're doing okay on the NIL money there, Keith. Keith Pompey, thanks for always giving us some time. Let's hope the Sixers start playing better. Otherwise, we'll just keep bitching at you about what we're seeing.
Yeah, you can keep it. You can keep doing it. But, you know, I do think, I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I do not think that it's time to panic just yet.
I am going to save that.
I think it's time to be concerned, but I don't think it's time to panic just yet.
New segment, Keith Pompey's Panic Meter.
I may save that clip and introduce the next time we have you on when we see how that's proceeded. We will see whether it was time to panic because Jeff, full panic and all out mode. Jeff's on like blow it all up mode. Keith Pompey, we'll catch up with you again soon, man. Thanks so much.
All right, peace.
I normally feel happier after talking to Keith. I am now more frustrated with the Sixers team. I love Keith. It's not his fault.
I'm a little confused because I've never seen you happier after any guest.
I like having
you love the guest.
I love the guest. He's
usually the news, especially any good reporter brings that makes you go, oh no, louder than you already going, oh no.
You pointed it out. Everything depends on if and when healthy, and yes. They're not.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, it's not a surprise.
No,
that was my point in bringing up.
We disagreed, by the way. We disagreed. Huh? I said that you were with me on the sky's falling, and I don't believe you're with me there because you never thought the sky was rising with this team.
Yeah, I thought that gravity had ended.
Yes.
As far as the Sixers had come. There was no sky left to fall. Because when I pointed out to both of you the number of games Joel Embiid has played since he left college.
That's disturbing.
And by the way, when he left college, he left with a broken back. So the when healthy doesn't work. Paul George has been hurt many, many times over the course of his career, and he's older. So when healthy was a risk. Now Maxey's got it. He's got, as Keith pointed out, he's got to play 45 minutes, and look what happens when he plays 45 minutes.
On a bum hamstring now.
Yeah, exactly. So it causes more injuries to him, and he's got to take worse shots. So it doesn't work because if you bring in complementary pieces by
defamation okay, now?
Yes. By definition.
Speaking 101 with
luckily,
Jeff Cohen.
Luckily, it's Friday. By definition, they are complementary, meaning that they are not starters.
Yes.
If you put them in that role, especially at the age of 38, it doesn't work.
I'm going to be really frustrated this season, aren't I?
I think I mentioned it last week. If I didn't, then let this be the first time. The Sixers, or at least the Josh Harris organization and grand enterprise, has an answer within its organization, or at least within the contact of his organization. Bob Myers was involved in the search for the Commanders, correct?
Yes.
Bob Myers, by all accounts, other than Jerry West and Pat Riley and a few others, is one of the great general managers of our lifetime, correct?
No, let's keep Daryl Morey here. Come on.
No, am I right? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's not Daryl Morey.
Why would you not, at right now, today, say, Daryl, thanks, bye-bye, and then let Bob Myers come in here, figure it all out, plan for the offseason, and see if there is a way out of this hole that is halfway to the other end of the earth.
Look, we brought this up.
Which, by the way, if you dig to China, Daryl Morey can't go there.
Can't go there. This is an organizational problem. And I started to talk about it at the end with Keith. Years ago, we talked about it with the Flyers when they lost credibility with the city that mm-hmm. they were going to put a product out there. And I worry that the Sixers are starting to lose credibility with their fan base. Look, you and I are supposed to be the loyal fans out there. It ain't fun for us right now. There is
nothing. By the way, at least the Flyers had Gritty to fall back
on. Yeah, like there is nothing.
The Sixers have Franklin.
There is nothing fun to be a fan about right now. And I don't know that fans are going to appreciate Embiid and other people out there kind of lashing out, attacking other players in the city for not appreciating him when they're not winning. When you're winning, you can get away with saying a lot more than when you're losing. But when you're losing, every little thing matters to fans. So when you don't speak nicely in a press conference, when you're not on the bench with your team, all of those things become stories that are non-stories when a team is winning.
May I have a moment to talk to Joel Embiid?
Go for it.
Joel Embiid seems to want loyalty from the fans, correct?
Yes.
How many times have you been in that arena where they chanted MVP, MVP?
A lot.
Cheered him on. A lot, right?
By the way, how many times have I been to the arena when he didn't play?
No. Okay, well, let me finish, okay? So that's what he wants, but he wants it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
Loyalty means giving your best effort all the time. It means showing up to practice. Loyalty means that when the chips are down, you don't call it this effing city. Loyalty means that you're honest with the fans. Joel Embiid is not loyal to the city or the people that pay his salary.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Okay. Well, that's my opinion. Half of us agree with that.
I don't know that he doesn't.
I agree with myself.
I'm glad. It's a great show. You say something and have a reinforcement.
We turn off Jason's mic.
Yeah, turn off
so
my
I can
mic.
Agree with myself.
You
more.
could make a point, and then we can just play the clip where it says, "I agree with myself." That would make for really good radio.
Good one, Jeff.
I just look. I'm down on Embiid and how he's behaved and handled this. I really am. It's disappointing.
Why? But see that my okay. There's my question to you. Why is it disappointing? What, okay,
because
when you
fan,
say disappointing, do you think it's surprising?
I didn't say it was surprising.
No, I'm asking.
No,
I'm trying. Okay,
so he hasn't played a full season yet. Why would he start now?
Right. So,
but as a fan,
to me, disappointment comes from expectations.
Well, again, I am the fan that puts blind faith and expectation each season. You are the fan who looks and says, "They ain't got no shot. I'm not investing my emotion and energy." That's what makes us different as fans. I want to fall
in love. You get
to
my age, you'll feel that way.
I want to fall in love with my teams. You mm-hmm. are in lust, and it doesn't always go well or end well.
That is true.
There we go.
But my lust for this team is older than yours.
This is true.
And so I had my tank is empty when it comes
empty.
To this.
Yes, you're tired.
You can't just keep going to the well with them and not get any return. And when I say return, it's not wins. Yeah, it's frustrating enough.
It's titles.
That we have a team that can't make it past the second round and has done some of the more bizarre things in sports history to get here, right? It's the way that they're doing it. It's the way that they've coddled their stars. And it's not just Joel Embiid. That's why Ben Simmons ended up the way he did.
That's why Jimmy couldn't stand it here with them.
What?
That's why Jimmy couldn't stand the way the team treated
him. Yeah, and you know, I hate to tell Joel, if Jimmy Butler had stayed here, Jimmy Butler would have rode him a whole lot harder than Maxey just did, and he wouldn't have liked that.
By the way, I didn't realize Embiid lives an hour and a half away, or it takes an hour and a half to get to the games. That's what Pat Bev said. So it's late because he has a far drive. Okay. Let's leave basketball.
I don't
there.
Know if that's true. But
me
go
either.
Ahead.
I want to go to some NCAA. We got about 7 minutes left. There's a couple things I want to do. I'm going to start with the non-serious and
you,
go to
you
the.
Want, you want to ask how much I paid for the Michigan quarterback?
No, I want to ask which Pop-Tart you think is going to survive in the Pop-Tart mascot bowl.
You and your Pop-Tart. You know what? Can you see if we can announce that game? Can you?
Well, you want to call it
that,
live?
That should be your goal, is that you should go lobby to get us to announce the Pop-Tart Bowl. Where is the Pop-Tart Bowl?
Who cares? They have three mascots this year. One of them's
going to
survive.
But I want to know, you don't know where it is? You just know that you can eat the mascot?
That was really all that was important to me.
Okay.
Not where I would be eating said mascot.
Basically, you're just hungry.
Pretty much. I didn't eat breakfast. It's in Orlando at Camping World Stadium. So we can go to Disney and eat Pop-Tarts. How's that sound?
There you go. You take kids to the park, and then we can go over and eat a mascot.
That'll all work. Speaking of Disney, did you?
God, I can't believe I uttered those words.
Did you see that Monday Night Football this weekend couldn't be flexed out with Dallas because it's not a good football game, but because they were doing the Simpsons.
They were doing
the Simpsons animation around it.
Yeah.
So they couldn't change everything for new teams. That was one of the reasons that it couldn't be flexed out.
The Simpsons are. See, now everybody loves the Simpsons,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a reason to hate the Simpsons.
I do not hate
we
the Simpsons.
We have to watch the Cowboys because of the Simpsons.
Well, yes, but if you're going to have to watch the Cowboys, at least Homer's going to be screaming dough while they're doing
Wait,
it.
Wait, when are they on?
Monday night.
It can't be this upcoming Monday night.
Monday, Thursday.
The Cowboys are playing 3 days apart?
Yes, they are.
How did I not know that?
Yes, they are.
How did the league allow that?
I don't know.
How did the Players Association allow that?
It's not the best way to do it, right? Actually, no, they play Sunday this week and then Thursday.
Okay, that was bad enough. It can't be.
It's the game on the 9th. It's the Monday night game on the 9th that they can't flex out because they're playing for the Simpsons. See, this is what happens when you ask me in dates.
And this is what I said to Keith, right?
You got to check your facts.
Don't trust
with me.
Him on his numbers.
You got to check your facts with me.
Four dates.
No,
dates. We've established for years now, calendaring is not your thing.
No, they have many strengths, not that. Temple basketball in trouble. Gambling still
numbers ain't their thing right now either.
No gambling still swirling around the program there, allegations. That's not going to end well.
It's already not ending well. He left.
Yeah,
and then he left the school that he transferred to,
but they're going to end up being punished even though he left. They're not going to let the school get out of the way and just go after the player. And
what do you do? I mean, we have this it's almost like every month or two now we have this conversation about gambling in sports. What do you do?
I don't know.
You can't control it anymore.
No.
That's the problem. There's no way to govern, monitor. You know, what are you going to do?
Well, the allegations against him are that he was betting on games that he was shaving points in. So he was betting on himself, not betting on other games. That's even worse than just gambling in general. I don't know what you do. I really don't.
The only way you can do it is to, like, monitor their phones, have cameras on them at all times. Like there's no physical way to deal with this problem except cross your fingers now.
That's the
can of worms that has completely been opened.
And cover your eyes. Just hope
until somebody finds out.
That's what's going to happen. Do you know who hit the jackpot though? Michigan.
And Colorado.
So you're conflicted on this. We'll go Colorado first. Big signing for Coach Dion.
Does that mean he stays?
I don't know.
Because there's no way that Julian Lewis is going
commits
to stay
there.
At Colorado if he leaves. And maybe that's it. Maybe he sits there and says, okay, well, I'll do this because if Dion's there, I want to play for him. But if he's not, there's no harm. I can just go somewhere.
I can go transfer. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, Dion's going to be coveted after the season. There's no doubt about that. Between the Raiders and likely the Cowboys, you would think that there will be two teams that will.
Michael Irvin just finds a way to just put himself into things, doesn't
always.
He?
Always.
You know, like even Dion's got to be saying, hey, Michael, can you just shut up already?
Yeah, right.
Didn't Dion dance around Michael Irvin when he got hurt one time?
So it was funny. Did you see they asked Dion and his like athletic director was sitting right next to him when they asked him? Dion's response was, why would you ask me that with my AD sitting here? All right, so your five-star QB.
He is quotable.
Your five-star QB got about $10 million on an NIL deal. You're conflicted.
I am conflicted. Again, I have no problem with athletes, student athletes getting money. They deserve to. I have a problem that there's no system in place now, and now one person or two person people can just pay an athlete when we have spent most of our lives trying to keep boosters out.
Does Barstool Sports get like a sideline seat now because of this one?
I have no idea. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, you told me that it's, and I've read stories that it's 10.5. I don't know whether it's true. I don't know where it comes from. I saw a headline that said Dave Portnoy is taking credit for it. I don't know what's true and what's not anymore, because there doesn't seem to be much transparency in this process. And again, there's no rules. This is as close to the wild, wild west as you can get. The NCAA has just created a mess. And I cannot imagine what it's like for athletic directors to have to deal with all this, or not deal with all of this, or bury their heads in the sand and just hope it all doesn't go horribly wrong.
Setting that aside, you're going to get to watch a damn good quarterback play for your team.
How old is he? How old is a freshman? 18 years old.
Who cares?
How does anybody know if it's really
God,
really
you don't
work
enjoy
out?
Anything. You don't let yourself get hopeful for anything. Do you have any happy final thoughts? Say something nice as we leave.
Yeah, I actually do. Thanksgiving is coming up. Everybody, go spend time with family. Give them a hug. Laugh. Have a good time. And for most of you, laugh at the Giants and Cowboys.
And don't talk about NIL. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next Friday night to help you start your weekend in style. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.